Chelsea's Dale. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we need all last days to see God's grace. Then when we first begun, my chains are set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be
We thank you for your grace. We thank you that this season we get to remember and dwell upon the gift that you gave us in Christ, the one who came to do away with our sin and our guilt and our shame, the one who came to die for us in our place and to be raised unto new life, to give us the hope of eternal life with you. God, we thank you for such amazing grace. We thank you that your hand and your gentle and your sweet and your loving spirit reached out to us, and you called us to yourself. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You can go ahead and have a seat as we sing this next one here, but do sing worship together with us as we sing this hymn. Come forward for the offering.
me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, and my faith will stay. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now.
Thank you.
Well done, Andy.
What's that?
I said children's get dismissed.
May I dismiss? No, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Set it up
I have to.
I was just reading.
Ask my wife. Janelle's with me this morning, but she's not feeling that great. So wait, before you come, are you able to sing with this? What do you think? He loves his mama. Say no. Stay here. It depends on how you feel. No, I think she maybe ate too many Christmas cookies or something like that. So she'll be able to come up here and share with me in a little bit. But we'll do one more song. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's sing Give Me Jesus here. It's one of my favorites. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Thank you, sister. My sister with lovely voice capabilities. All right, Janelle, would you be able to join me? And Ethan, why don't you join as well? Hey, you better watch it, kid. Do like my parents used to have to do in this church, and pull me aside. All right, you want to grab a microphone? You have one?
Good morning.
Yeah, it is so good to be with you guys. And thank you, Joseph, and everybody for allowing us to just come back here and share. And kind of just gave us a service, so a little Christmas gift for us that we can extend. If you're visiting or new here, we just got back a couple weeks ago from England. And before we left, we came here and just shared a little bit about what was going to be happening in this trip. We went to partner with a church that actually Janelle's parents have known the pastors for about 30 years, really almost. So relationships that are deep and long there. And so we just got back a couple weeks ago and wanted to come and just express, for one, our gratitude to you all, because so many of you sowed in financially. This church prayed for us, and just even people sending us cards, you know, just encouragement as we were over there. We just want to thank you and express our gratitude for this church. We're just always grateful, always love to be here, come back and see your smiling faces, and just how much love and generosity is in this church. We just so appreciate it.
It's so good to be with you guys, and we so felt your prayers while we were over there. We went for 3 months to London, England, to partner with this church, and it was such a wonderful time, and we were so blessed to know that we had our church here in Gorville and our church back in Nashville praying for us and partnering with us. One of the really cool things about this church, it's called London Alive. And the pastors of it, Dan and Nori Chesney, they're seasoned ministers, but they've been itinerant preachers. They go around and do marriage conferences and stuff. And God just put it in their heart about a year ago to plant this new work, and they asked us to come. And one of the really neat things about it is that we did church in the public. So most of our services took place in coffee shops around London. So we would have, Kyle would do worship, we would do a teaching, we would have fellowship, we'd buy everybody free coffee, you know, whoever came. And we had customers who would kind of be peering in, and they'd ask, you know, what are you guys doing? So we got to share with them and invite them to join us. And it was such a neat environment because it made it really easy for people who might be intimidated by church, have maybe a wrong view of how you have to be to come into a church, that we wouldn't feel that way, but they might have that perception. So for them to come to a coffee shop was so normal and natural. And when we got there, we had about 15 people who were really committed to the church, a precious, precious group of people. And we had our first Sunday morning service while we were there, and we had over 60 people who came. So the church is growing, and it's growing quickly, and we have a lot of people who are seeking, and there's several that I have on my heart that I'm praying for every day who have been coming consistently, who are going to give their lives to Christ and come into the family. So it was such a gift and a blessing to be a part of this work.
Mm-hmm. It was. England, you know, our first couple of weeks there, of course, there was a learning curve. You know, it's like, how do you use these coins and pay for stuff? Why are we on the other side of the road right now? You know, and your brain has to get used to that. So just a lot of things, just even learning, you know, we're living with a family there. And it was Dan and Nori, who are in their 60s, seasoned ministers, and they have 3 kids. And one of their daughters and her husband and their 4 kids live with them right now. And
the 4 kids are under 7 years old.
Yeah. So for Ethan, he loved it. Every day was a, you know,
party.
It was like 90 days of sleepovers. You know, that's what it was. And so all of this, you know, we're getting acclimated and we're getting to learn things. And some of the stuff I was trying to learn was really the mindset, the worldview, the kind of attitude that people have there. You know, and that I can watch shows that are British TV shows, and I can read books, you know, I can study history and all that. But until you really get in a culture, you know, anywhere, whether you're going up to Canada, Mexico, any other place, or even when you travel the U.S., there's enough of a difference in certain cities or different parts of cities where it's just a different mindset, you know? And you have to get in and talk to people and get to know people. And so we're learning that. And I'll say one thing I anticipated was much more resistance to the gospel, to church. And what was such a pleasant surprise was that there was a lot of favor and grace. And for us to even meet in a coffee shop and sing songs like I just sang, I remember doing Give Me Jesus, you know, overtly talking about Jesus, you know. And people would just come, and they'd want to listen, they'd want to hear. And people, you know, start coming because of stuff like that. They're curious and they're interested. We never had anybody that were hagglers, you know, that were just saying, get out of here. Because it is a secular country, you'd say. The overall mindset is, even though it had the Anglican church and state church for years, that's really not, religion is not what's at the center, driving the culture and driving, you know, all sorts of things, the morals and all that. But It's different. I expected much more hostility, and what we found was a lot of favor and grace, you know. And I know there are people everywhere that are hostile against the gospel. You'll find that here, you know. You'll find that around Southern Illinois, people that, because they were hurt by God, they feel they were hurt by God, you know, they had some sort of loss in their life, they blame God for that, or for whatever reason, you know, they have something against God. But those people there, they didn't come into our path. And what we found, that there were so many Christians, many more than we expected, that were just so warm, so real, genuine with their faith, and hungry. And we found a precious community over there. So continue to pray for London Alive. They just had their second Sunday morning service this recent Sunday. And in January, they'll have their third. They're just right now trying out and continuing to build. But probably in January, they're going to be having continual Sunday morning services. And the leaders there, they are evangelists. And so they say, we don't care what it looks like. We might end up meeting in coffee shops forever, you know. All we know we want is a move of God. And so that's what we're praying for and believing for. And so we're praying with them for that.
Yes, so again, thank you so much for your love and support, your kind words and cards, and just for being a part of this. We'll keep you posted. They would love for us to come back, and we're open to it, but no plans as of yet. But we'll keep you updated on all of that. So thank you guys so much.
Yes, thank you. And this morning, I'm going to just share just a short kind of sermon, almost kind of a devotional kind of sermon. But this is the last message that I was able to share in a coffee shop over there in London. And we were going through a series talking about God's gifts. And, you know, this is an appropriate time, right? Did anybody get any gifts? Yeah? Huh? Any kids? Ethan, did you get any gifts this year for Christmas? Yeah? So gifts are given, you know, and it's so common to be able to buy and get stuff for people and receive. And sometimes we forget that our Heavenly Father is a generous giver. And that when you read all through the New Testament, it talks about gifts that He gives. And I just want to read something, too, that the story that reminds me of His generosity. There was a story about Alexander the Great. And said, Alexander the Great had a general whose daughter was getting married. And Alexander really valued this soldier greatly and offered to pay for the wedding. So he had a steward who went to receive the bill to see how much the wedding was going to be. And he brings it back to Alexander, and it was this exorbitant amount of money. And to his surprise, Alexander smiled and said, pay it. He said, don't you see, by him asking such a great sum of money, he does me great honor, because he shows that he believes I'm not only rich, but also generous. And that's how it is with God. He is, of course, the most rich and the most generous. And sometimes we think we're having to just pray that hopefully, you know, pennies are going to get squeezed out of heaven so that we can get the resources we need, or whatever it is that we need. But we have to have faith, right? Faith believes, faith trusts in that God is a generous giver. And so this morning I want to talk about God's gift of grace. And grace is such a strong word, and it's so full. And in fact, when you read through the New Testament, it's used in different ways. You know, every word kind of has a semantical range, you could say, a range of different meanings and nuances in it. And grace is one. When you read it, it's a full and a rich word. In general, the definition is God's unmerited favor. And that is what it is. But how it's expressed in our lives and how he appropriates his grace into our life, it takes on many shades. And so I want to read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10, if you have your Bibles with you. And you want to open up with me, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're looking at 6 through 10. And here this is Paul saying. Paul was just talking about how he had these great revelations. He had all of these insights into heavenly places. And he said, even if I should choose to boast, I will not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I say or do. But because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, prideful, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more in hardships about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. I'll say that again. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, with God's grace, I just want to cover a couple things. One, what grace is not. Two, what grace is, as best as I can in, you know, just a couple minutes. And number three, what prevents us from realizing God's grace. And then four, how can we really receive and get God's grace, appropriate it into our lives? So in this passage, we see that Paul, he didn't just have one problem. Right, he had a thorn in the flesh. That's obvious. He had this messenger of Satan, something that really was making life tough for him. Right, but that wasn't his only issue. What was the second thing you see in there? He had this potential of pride welling up in his heart, something he wasn't really aware of. And so, what was happening? You know, he was pleading for God to help him, to give him some grace, you might say, and. And he didn't realize that pride was something that had to be dealt with. You know, C.S. Lewis, a brilliant British scholar, you could say. I got to go around some of his places over there. And he writes on pride in such a great way. He said, pride is the thing that we always abhor, you know, when we see it in somebody else. We hate it when we see it in other people. Ah, they're full of pride, they're conceited. But we always are naive. And we are blind to pride in our own life. It's the one thing that we just forget that, oh yeah, I'm probably more selfish than I think, or my opinion matters way more than it probably should in this, you know? And he says the first step, the remedy with pride, is just acknowledging, I have pride in my life, you know? We all do. And that's the first step towards humility. I love how C.S. Lewis also says, if you ever meet a prideful or a really humble person, you wouldn't think, man, that guy was just so meek and humble. You probably would think, wow, they never really talked about themselves, and they just listened to me and made stuff about me, you know? And you meet people like that. There are people like that here where you just are so generous, you know, and kind. And when you talk to somebody like that, you just go, wow, this person, they were just so focused on me. And that's the kind of person we all should aspire to be humble, you know? It's not really thinking more of yourself or less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less, you know? Just getting out of the way. And so we all need to grow in humility, you know, all through this life we will. And so for Paul's pride, you know, even in this spiritual life of being like such a spiritual leader, he was predisposed to become arrogant and prideful and think that he was more elite than other people. And so he didn't realize that Jesus' grace was already at work in his life. Jesus was keeping him humble. Jesus was continuing to shape his character. And I'll say that's something overall in life. When we go through difficult things, what we need to look for and ask is, Jesus, where is your grace already at play in my life? What is it that you're doing in me? Is there something you're trying to teach me? Is there a way you're trying to shape my character, humble me? And sometimes God's grace, it's not just about the tough stuff. Sometimes it is God just generously showering things on you. You know, it's really both sides. Paul himself said, I know how to live in abundance, and I know how to live in lack. What he said in Philippians, he said, this is the secret. You know, I can do all things through Christ. So it's just always recognizing God's grace in your life. A little bit of what grace is not. You know, it's not the sloppy cover up for sin. It's not this canopy for vice, but it's a cloak for virtue. You know, God's grace, it truly does come and it empowers us in our lives. Paul rose the question to the Romans in Romans 6. He said, should we continue to sin so that grace may abound? Certainly not. That's, of course, grace comes to cover our sins. But think about it. When you experience the presence of God, the love of God, are you thinking, how can I just go and get away with something right now? You know? How can I just turn away from Jesus and his love and his warmth and his peace and all that right now and just go do something? No, that's the farthest thing from your mind. When you are experiencing and realizing the grace of Jesus, you want to know him, you want to follow him, you want to grow and for sin to be the farthest thing from you. Isn't that right? So that's what, grace is not this, this, you know, sloppiness. It's not sloppy agape, you might say, you know, agape love. It's not this sloppy form of that, but it's a real empowerment to do away with sin more and more in our lives. So when you think about what grace is, in a sense, it is part of the personality of God, isn't it? It's part of his character and his presence. I love when in Exodus, God reveals himself to Moses on the mountain. And think about it. What were the first couple of words and phrases that came forth whenever Moses was concealed and got to see as God's glory passed? He said, I am the Lord, compassionate and gracious, abounding in love and faithfulness. You know, and then he goes on to say, I do repay, you know, sin. There are consequences, you know, I there is justice there as he talks about repaying for generations, you know, sin as it goes on. But what does he lead with? What does God lead with? He says, I'm compassionate, I'm gracious, full of mercy, full of grace. It's the same kind of voice that Paul heard when he's crying out for help, and he's getting a different answer than what he expected. It wasn't, yes, I'm instantly taking this away, but it's St. Paul, my grace is sufficient. I'm here with you, and you're going to see how my grace is taking effect in your life. And so what prevents us from realizing this often? Well, one, we don't think we deserve it. And two, sometimes we think we have to earn it. You know, we don't realize that he has made us worthy to be recipients of his grace, because what he came to do 2,000 years ago in coming and being one of us in human flesh, growing up, living a sinless life, being beaten and dying on a cross, and then his spirit raising him from the dead, the Holy Spirit giving power to his body to raise him from the dead and to bring him up to heaven. He made us worthy. He made you a worthy candidate to receive his unmerited favor, his grace. And you don't have to try to earn it. That's the whole point with grace. I had a friend I was trying to share the gospel with in Nashville a couple years ago, and he was so in need. He was like so close to really giving his life to Jesus, but he had this huge wall up, several things, some pain in his life, some loss. And I'd just be with him for hours and we'd just talk. And he was so open. He was somebody in this church that was really, you could say, legalistic. He had memorized like 6 books of the Bible, like more than I've memorized. And so he knew the Bible really well and he liked talking about it. So we'd have these conversations and talk. And at one point, I just talked about grace and forgiveness, and he said, I can't let somebody else pay for me. I got to pay myself, which is such a heavy and scary kind of thought when you think of having to really pay for your own sin, you know? And it's that in our hearts sometimes, even if it's not that overt, but we think, we got to do this. We have to pay for it. We have to earn it ourselves, you know? And that's not it. It's God's grace. God is the one that covers our sins. And so how can we appropriate this? How can we get God's grace, you know, functioning in our lives? I'd say, first of all, meditate on the gospel. You know, we think sometimes that we really know the gospel, but no, if it's not like you become a Christian and you kind of understand the gospel and you move on to other things. That stays center, you know, throughout our life. And to really know and understand all the ramifications of the cross of Christ. You know, so Paul said in Colossians 3, let this message, you know, of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, you know. Let it dwell in you richly. Meditate on the gospel. I'd say that's step one. And then number two, like Paul realized in this passage, our life is a pattern of going through things, you know, difficult things. And you think sometimes, God, are you there? I know you hear my prayers, but I don't really know you're hearing me right now, you know. And so there are times like that where you're going through difficult things, and then all of a sudden, just at the right time, the faithfulness of God comes through, right? And our life is a cycle, a pattern of experiencing his faithfulness over and over. You know, I've heard this said, Joseph, when he was growing up, you know, he's a teenager and he had these dreams, and he goes and he shares them. And he had pride, you know, that he didn't realize in his life and probably all sorts of things. He didn't realize, you know, if an angel showed up to him and said, now, Joseph, right now you're pretty much a spoiled brat. You know, you just sit in the air conditioning all day long while your brothers go out and do all the hard work. And, yeah, you have these dreams and you're going to be great. You know, he might have grown up. Would he have really responded to that? Probably not. I mean, what teenager responds to words just from their parents saying, hey, you're going to be a brat, change, you know? And the point is, nobody realizes they're sinful because they're just told. They have to be shown. There has to be a deep realization of their sin. I remember that for me when I was 17, you know, and just the void that was in my heart. It was just the right time to see that and where God came in and showed me. And on another hand, nobody really realizes they're loved so much just by being told. They have to be shown. And that's the point. God's faithfulness. He shows how much he loves us over and over again all through life. So I just encourage you, wherever you are, whether you're in a season of plenty and rejoicing or whether you have difficult things, be like Paul in this passage and seek the grace of God. If you don't know Jesus, and this, what I'm talking about, just sounds somewhat familiar, you know, like, yeah, there's something I need in having my sins removed, having guilt and shame. I need more of a power in life, you know, because I don't have enough on my own. My human heart just doesn't have what it needs to fully function like I think I'm really designed and meant to function. Well, then, receive this Christmas season the greatest gift of grace that brings salvation to us all. Amen. Amen. Joseph, if you would.